Meeting will come to order. I was waiting for a few more members, but we're I think going to get started so that we stay on schedule. And we have the Minnesota Zoo with us today, asset preservation and governor's recommendation. And this summer we hope to have an opportunity for the committee to visit as we look ahead to the future. But we welcome you to the committee, and please identify yourselves for the record.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I'm Lee Emke. I'm the Director, Chief Executive Officer for the Minnesota Zoo, and with me is Peggy Adelman, who is the Chief Financial Officer for the zoo. I just wanted to briefly provide an update on last year's bonding bill and how we are expending the monies that were allocated to us then. I believe all of you should have a handout that was put into your briefing book that goes through the asset preservation request and allocation from last year of $7.5 million. And as you can see, we've committed nearly $7 million of that is already either completed or under construction at this point. And this is, again, a very welcome piece of news last year because of the zoo's deferred maintenance needs throughout the park, about $30 million of which we've identified. As you can see, the 7.5 is taking care of a lot of those issues, including a new chiller. We had the original chiller from the 1978 zoo, which we are replacing, which will be a much more efficient unit, doing work on our classrooms, electrical systems, and then some significant projects, a renovation of our central plaza, and maybe most visibly, our Minnesota Trail exhibit will undergo a complete renovation and facelift, and will be opening in July. And we welcome all of you to come out and see that either in process or when we open it in July. The rest are pretty self-explanatory here, so you can see that we are putting last year's allocation to good use. We're also working on a new project for which we received funding both in last year's bonding bill and in the previous bonding bill called Russia's Grizzly Coast. It'll be a major signature exhibit at the zoo. It's now in full construction and will be ready to open in May of 2008. And we're anticipating that will have a major impact on our attendance, earned revenues, and general perception of the zoo. But that brings us to this year's request, and it's a request that we were not originally anticipating. It is an emergency bonding request because of information we received just in October from the city of Eagan, which is the city that receives the sewage and storm runoff from the zoo. And I'm going to ask Peggy Adelman to walk us through that request and take any questions you might have about the request, which is in the governor's recommendation at $1.5 million.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Peggy Adelman, Chief Financial Officer at the zoo. I've tried to figure out how to make this an exciting presentation. We're usually talking about animals, and we have wonderful pictures, and I thought about boom boxes playing, raindrops keep falling on my head, and drawing little stick figures, but the bottom line is this is a basic infrastructure issue. One of the issues that the Metropolitan Council has identified is inflow and infiltration. And inflow and infiltration stems from clean water that gets into the sanitary sewer system and thus gets treated needlessly. And it's not as environmentally an issue as the other way around, where sanitary sewer water gets into the clean water system. But what they have looked at is the capacity that's in the metropolitan area and what the projected growth is. And the Metropolitan Council has determined that in order to continue to treat all of this clean water through the wastewater treatment plants, they would have to invest $900 million over the next couple of decades. So they stepped back and they said, well, what we need to do is really, instead of investing $900 million, we need to fix the problem. And so they've developed a program that is really incentive-based over the course of the next 5 years to try and get local units of government who have excessive inflow and infiltration to address the issue. Infiltration is where it's leaky pipes and clean groundwater is leaking into the sanitary sewer system. That's not the issue at the zoo. Inflow tends to happen with an excessive rain event. And the one that got us on the radar screen was back in October a couple of years ago, where I believe it was like 5 inches of rainfall over the course of 24, 48 hours. And the water can't be absorbed, and so then it goes into the sanitary sewer system. Under the program that the Met Council has, they have determined what that excessive flow is for the local units of government. And when they exceeded their flow, there is now a surcharge. However, to offer the incentive, they have told the local units of government that they will waive the surcharge or reimburse the surcharge if a like amount of money is used to fix the problem. Minnesota Zoo is interesting because we're right on the border of Apple Valley and Eagan. So we get our water from Apple Valley. However, we discharge to the city of Eagan. And Eagan is one of those cities that exceeded their flow. So they received a notice from the Metropolitan Council that beginning in January of this year, they would be charged over $2 million. However, if they would pass a resolution to put that amount of investment into fixing the problem, then that could be put on hold. Well, the city of Eagan hired an engineer, and the zoo is in a unique situation in that we have our own flow meter. So the engineer determined that the flow coming from the zoo was about 72% of the Eagan problem. So in October of this year, the zoo received a letter that got our attention saying that Eagan would be charging us over the next 5 years $1.5 million. However, they would offer us the same incentive program that they received from the Met Council, which is if we would put that amount of money into fixing the problem, they would waive that surcharge. The Eagan City Council has already passed a resolution that the Met Council has accepted, saying that they will make that investment. They would like the zoo's board of directors to pass a similar resolution. We don't feel that we can advise them to do that unless we actually have the money. We've received the first bill, just as promised, in January. But what this ends up doing is that $1.5 million is about 400% more than our average bill. We also, being an environmental agency, want to do the right thing and fix the problem. We have an RFP that we will have the responses back at the end of this month, looking to bring in an engineering firm to look at various water management studies that have been done at the zoo before and to actually make recommendations on how we can deal with the problem that we have with the excessive inflow. We are guessing, and in talking to other engineers, we assume that it will be several items to help solve the problem. Probably retention ponds, possibly diverting some of the water from some of our large exterior exhibits so that we can isolate some of that water that is not as close to the animals, and probably some operational things that we can do. Today, I can't tell you exactly what those projects are and the dollar amount. The $1.5 million is the dollar amount that Eagan has indicated that they will be charging us back. Longer term, because everyone wants to solve the problem, the Met Council program right now is looking at 5 years from now, if people have not solved the problem, instead of the surcharge, they will implement a demand charge, which is several times more than what that surcharge is. So everybody is motivated to try and deal with their water management issues. We believe that we can start work this summer, and thus are looking at this as an emergency request as opposed to waiting to the next year, which is a larger bonding year. Again, we just found out in October it wasn't something we could budget for. We think we can begin the work this summer and hopefully get the church surcharge off of our bill.
Representative Leader.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Adelman, I see roughly your land area isn't as large as the city of Eagan, and they only have 27.7%. Are you draining surface water into your sanitaries? Or where do you get all that water? I realize you have aquatic exhibits, but proportionately, if they say maybe I don't think the city of Zeegan is that big a land area compared to yours, but it would appear to me you must be putting surface water into your sanitary. Is that what's happening or what?
Ms. Adelman.
Madam Chair and Representative Leader, because we have so much animal area, and any time it's almost similar to a feedlot where a lot of our surface water does go into the sanitary sewer. What happened to send us over the allotted flow was this rainfall where there was more than could be absorbed. And so we need to, we've done some things in the past as far as holding ponds on the site. Now, thinking about the city of Eagan, I'm not sure what their permeable surface is versus impermeable surface. But we did spend a couple of thousand dollars hiring an engineer to look at how Eagan had determined our portion, because we didn't want to just take their word for it. And they did the due diligence for us, and they agreed that it was a reasonable allocation.
Follow up? Representative Dean.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Ms. Edelman. Thank you for the great work that you folks do, and we look forward to visiting when it's warm outside and seeing all the great things that you guys are doing out there. With respect to the Met Council and their attributing this penalty to you for water runoff, I understand why you have to treat so much of your water, because it's essentially all supposed to be treated, even though it would be groundwater runoff, because there's animals on it, it kind of has to treat it like it's sanitary water. Did they give you any sort of a repeal process, or did they just pretty much say, this is your bill, you got to live with it, it's $1 million, make your repairs? How was that news delivered to you?
Ms. Adelman.
Madam Chair, Representative Dean, the Met Council actually does not consider us one of their customers, and so we did not get the notice from the Met Council. We received it from the City of Eagan, and it came in the form of a letter, which, as I said, got our attention. What we then did was call the Met Council so that we could learn more about the program, and they've been very helpful in coming out, explaining the history of the program, the philosophy of the program. We then met with the City of Eagan, and the Met Council offered, and we took them up on the offer, to sit in on that meeting. And so we're all working together very cooperatively. The City of Eagan is actually helping us with our RFP review. So it has been amiable, and the City of Eagan has said that they will offer us the same rebate waiving of what they have charged us that the Met Council is offering them.
Madam Chair, it just seems to me that this is just another Met Council. They just determined that this automatically costs $0.9 billion, so we're all supposed to assume that it costs $0.9 billion, and they assume that Eagan's share is this much, and Eagan assumes that so much is up to you, and here we are with a big bill. And I think it's something that we need to look at from a committee standpoint, that these are mandates that are going to be placed on cities that come back to us, and where is the oversight over the Met Council in just determining this is $1 billion that somebody has to pay.
And Representative Dean, coincidentally, we were just visited by those cities, and we saw two pages of the bigger picture around the metropolitan area. So you will be seeing that issue from another perspective. In this case, it's one state agency, we'll be able to have a conversation about that, and we'll make note of that. Representative Solberg.
Madam Chair, Representative Dean, for 13 years I served as the mayor of a little teeny town, and we had this problem, and it was up to us to solve it, because it wasn't the Met Council, but the Pollution Control Agency that said, you solve it, and it was also the right thing to do because of infiltration and additional water going into our sanitary sewer system that was, so it was being treated, but it was clean water that was being treated, and we should not have done that. So, but I, Ms. Edelman, I noticed on here that your utilities from cost for the zoo increased 46% from 2002 to 2006. How much of that has been attributed to your wastewater utilities? Or is that not part of the percentage of increase?
Madam Chair, Representative Colbert, actually our sewer and water has been fairly steady, and actually on the water I believe has decreased a little bit between 2002 and current. That has mostly been cost of heating and cooling, and then to a lesser extent gasoline for our vehicles.
Yeah, Madam Chair, if I have a couple more follow-up. Ms. Edelman, you said you received the first bill from the City of Eagan. How much was that?
Madam Chair, Representative Solberg, I believe that was in the neighborhood of $50,000.
And
Representative Solberg.
Madam Chair, Ms. Edelman, is that a monthly bill?
Ms. Edelman.
Madam Chair, Representative Solberg, it may be quarterly.
So I'm trying to wrap my hands around the numbers, because you said it's a $1 million, and but your cost is it request is 1.5, is it?
Madam Chair, Representative Solberg, yes, and that is something that they have said they will assess over a 5-year period of time.
So your obligation to the city, Madam Chair, is now going to be a couple hundred thousand a year. If we did nothing, you would have to pay for that. Is that correct?
Madam Chair, Representative Solberg, that is correct.
What I'm looking for is that's a financial obligation you have, and I'm wondering if we should not consider going down, or have you talked about going down, some kind of a shared responsibility. I know you are a state agency and a state facility, and I don't mind supporting that, but it is an obligation that you have, like the Department of Administration may have, or that we have in the House and so forth for our utilities. I'm just wondering if has there been discussion about some kind of using the money that you're obligated to pay if we don't do anything to help on that particular type of capital improvements.
Ms. Edelman?
Madam Chair, Representative Solberg, we haven't had detailed discussions because this is still relatively new. Our interest is, again, to solve the problem. If we do not receive any money, to be perfectly honest, to pay out the $50,000 to $60,000 on a quarterly basis is probably programmatically for us a little more doable than to try and find the $1.5 million or more to actually do the project.
Just one, and you said you have an engineer in mind, and if you think it's $1.5 million, how close are you to having the right figures for that?
Madam Chair, Representative Solberg, I would like to say that we would have those by the end of session, but I can't guarantee that we will. It will be the end of February when the firm comes on board, and the first conversation we will have is how long do they believe it will take to review work that's already been done so that they're not reinventing the wheel, and then to come up with recommendations and the cost estimates for those recommendations.
Madam Chair, it presents us with a little bit of a problem for timing, because if it should happen to cost $1.1 million instead of $1.5, and we're tying up $400,000 that may be used for something other. So I'm just pushing a little bit for that type of figure.
And Madam Chair, Representative Solberg, we will have that number by the next legislative session. So if it came in at $1.1 million, language written that it was for inflow and infiltration abatement, that money would be there as you go into your next bonding session.
Thank you.
Other questions? If not, members, those of you who came in late, they did present to us one page that is a summary of the 06 asset preservation and balance remaining, estimated completion, etc., for your information, and then the information on this particular project. So thank you for... I'm sorry, Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just something popped in my head. If you can't get an affirmative answer from this body, are you still in a position to go back to the city of Eagan and tell them that you will cooperate in a program? Otherwise, if you don't, they will see that as a default on your part, that you won't be able to come up with the money, and then every time it rains or we get the spring thaw, it's going to exacerbate the problem. So what do you have to do to get an agreement with Eagan to stop the bleeding?
Madam Chair and Representative Peterson, right now the City of Eagan is looking for our board to pass a resolution committing to spending that dollar amount. Short of that, they will just continue to add that surcharge to our bill.
And Madam Chair, your board would be inclined to agree with them and then figure out the money thing 4 weeks from now. or in some way. I mean, you'll have to address that as a separate issue if we can't. But you almost are obligated to agree to the terms, are you not?
Madam Chair and Representative Peterson, if we don't pass a resolution, we're going to have to come up with that surcharge money every year, and basically that will come down to programmatic decisions. What positions do you leave vacant? What animals do you disposition to other places?
There's a strong incentive to fix it rather than to have an ongoing surcharge.
Madam Chair, yes. Not only because of the dollar amount, but it is the right thing to do.
And for just one quick...
That's sober.
Have you paid the $50,000?
Madam Chair, Representative Solberg, yes, we have, but we did it with a conversation with the City of Eagan prior to doing that, making sure that we were on the same page, that should we come up with the money, that will be credited to us.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Thank you for coming to talk to us about your request for this year.
Thank you.
And we'll be keeping that in mind. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Members, Representative Leader, would you move the minutes of February 6th?
Madam Chair, I'll move the minutes of February 6th.
Any discussion on those minutes? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, motion carries. Minutes are adopted for Tuesday, February 6th. And now we have the Department of Corrections, and Commissioner Dennis Benson is here along with his Assistant Commissioner, and there is a one-page handout before us, and as they come forward, just as we're thinking back to last year, as I recall, your request of us for asset preservation was $10 million, and you're giving us a summary of what you did with the $5 million. We gave you half of what you requested last year for asset preservation, and that is summarized on your sheet.
Madam Chair and members, I'm Dennis Benson, the Deputy Commissioner responsible for institutions. We'll go through our asset preservation summary from last year first. I've got Assistant Commissioner Eric Scon here, who's going to briefly describe what we spent those dollars on. And then also on the back side of the handout is a longer list of asset preservation needs that he'll touch on briefly.
And maybe while we're just looking at that, and I was going to visit with Representative Solberg about this, a carry forward amount in your department, is that something that you have, or what? Can you give us some information about that?
Madam Chair and members, our budget now is over $400 million a year, and obviously each year we have some carry-forward dollars at the end of the year. We're simply not able to pay all the bills on the 30th day of June each year, so whatever we don't get paid that year either cancels or carries over. As you know, we've had carry-forward authority here the last couple of bienniums, or the off year at the end of the biennium, and that has helped this agency in terms of managing some of those unforeseen asset preservation needs that come up when you're dealing with an agency that has millions and millions of square feet of heated space, so that's been helpful. So this year, again, of course, it's the end of a biennium, and I understand that the governor has a bill that speaks to carry forward going primarily to IT needs, technology needs.
And your carry forward would be?
It's hard to say. Last year, I think there were several projects that we simply did not get done before the end of the year, so we canceled, I think, was over $5 million.
Representative Solberg.
Well, Madam Chair, as I understand the cancellation, Department of Finance will determine approximately what all the agencies will have for cancellation. And they usually put a number in that's either to affect $15 million or $20 million. If there is adjustments to that, then that takes away from the amount of money that's available in the forecast. I don't know. We never know where that comes from, particularly which some agencies may have, you know, $100,000 that they cancel, and some may have $2 million that they cancel. But finance is the one who gives us that particular number. Are you requesting in the governor's budget that you have the ability to carry forward a certain amount of money for the Department of Corrections? And if so, that's a little bit unusual.
Madam Chair and Representative Solberg, no, we aren't. We're obviously supporting the governor's budget, and our point was that this year I understand that finance is bringing a bill forward that dictates to all agencies that if there's carry forward, it may be used for IT projects. And, of course, that bill has to be passed by the legislature and signed by the governor. But I understand that if that bill hasn't been presented, I think it's tomorrow that it's being presented in state government.
So you're going to begin with the 2006 summary. Is that correct, Commissioner?
Madam Chair, that's correct. I'm going to ask Assistant Commissioner Scon to do that.
Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, members, my name is Eric Scon. I'm Assistant Commissioner with the Department of Corrections. In noting the 2006 $5 million appropriation, it's got a background kind of flesh-colored on the right side of the handout. Thus far, we have spread that out over five facilities. You'll notice under Oak Park Heights in particular, there's $1,450,000 dedicated for the ventilation system. That is a down payment on the mold problem that you're about to hear about in terms of this request. Many of these needs have come off of the backlist. Some of them emerged just within the last several weeks. We allocated the $100,000 for the storm sewer repair at Moose Lake. So we find that when we get our appropriations, some of this can be planned money, but with the 10 facilities and aging infrastructure, many times it's a surprise, and we have to respond and drop the plan. As we look to the backside, we have developed a list of long-term asset preservation needs. The first three institutions, Stillwater, St. Cloud, and Oak Park, we developed with our physical plant expertise on site. The other facilities, we actually did asset preservation studies where we hired a consultant. So although these are some rough figures, we think these are valid concerns going into the future. And note that the total almost $200 million. We know that there are needs all over the state, but just wanted to take this moment to say we have needs, and we're always grateful for what we get, and we thank you for what we have received.
Representative Lanning.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Could you tell us how long-term is this? Is this a 20-year, 10-year kind of projection as to what we need to do?
Madam Chair, Commissioner, and Representative, this is probably a 10 to 20-year look forward, to be frank. I can tell you, though, that if you look under Stillwater, the second item from the top, window replacement at $15.5 million. I've been in this position for 11 years, and we've had window replacement somewhere on our list for 11 years. Those windows are almost 100 years old now. So the reality is with the 5 to 10 million we get every other year, it really kind of keeps the water pipes in good repair and the roofs from leaking. We haven't really got a good bite into asset preservation in our agency. And the other problem, obviously, with our agency is we've doubled our population in 11 years, which we're not proud of. That was foisted upon us by, policy decisions. And we've moved into lots of old buildings and different campuses. We're occupying DHS facilities that are in poor repair. So there are lots and lots of needs. We've lost a steam contract this past year with the L&S King plant down at in Bayport. So we had to put in three boilers at Stillwater. That's something that came up in a couple of years, and that was several million dollars. So you got these needs that you know about, and then every year, as Mr. Scott indicated, you got these things that come up, and this mold problem has been kind of a lingering problem that we've been dealing with almost since the day we opened Oak Park Heights. But it's a combination of those like asbestos. We've got an asbestos survey, $8 million, and that's been on the list, I think, for about 8 or 9 years now.
Representative
Lenny. Thank you, Madam Chair. A follow-up question. As a new member to this committee, will you do the same kind of, or do you do the same kind of prioritization that Minsky does when it comes to asset preservation across the system?
Commissioner?
Madam Chair and Representative, yes, we do. Every other year when we put together our bonding request, it goes to the governor, and we prioritize our projects that we think we absolutely need to get done in the next 2 years, and we try to leave a little wiggle room for those things that come up. Again, 2 weeks ago, we heard about a storm sewer pipe up at Moose Lake that had broke and caved in, and there was not wastewater but storm water running down to the lake up there. So that's something that $100,000 but had to be fixed immediately. So got to have some dollars in there for the unforeseen circumstance.
Thank you.
Headline. Continue.
Madam Chair and members, that kind of gives you a looking back at not only what we spent our asset preservation dollars on last year, but also that longer list that we keep in our department. And we do update it, and we try to do analysis of various institutions to understand what the needs are. And that change, of course, or that list, rather, changes every year and every other year. So when we come back next year for a bonding proposal, I think it will change somewhat as we complete some of those projects, too. But this year we're here because we think we have two needs that, again, have emerged that were somewhat unforeseen, and part of it was the fact that we only ended up with $5 million last year for asset preservation instead of the $10 million that was included in the governor's bill. And the one has already been mentioned, that ventilation system at Oak Park Heights. I think I talked about this last year, but one of the design errors in that facility that was designed back in the late 70s was the ventilation system, the very large ducts out there that are 3, 4 to 6 or 8 feet tall. The insulation on that ductwork was placed on the inside instead of the outside, and it was a fiberglass-like material, and as the chiller air moved across that, it provided an ideal environment for mold to grow. And we've had a mold problem in that facility, again, for over 20 years. It's also earth-sheltered. We had a roof problem. We've just finished replacing the roof out there, and we've kind of dried the place out, but we still have this problem with mold growing inside the vents. So we've tried various fixes. We've tried to encapsulate it with a tar-like substance. We tried to remove it, but we continue to grow mold out there. So that request is $2.242 million to basically replace that ventilation system. It's the second phase, too. As Mr. Scott indicated, last year we spent $1,450,000 out of our asset preservation appropriation on that issue. But this will replace the ductwork, will install UV lighting, which will provide the mold control, and then new air system controls and electronics, too. And then underground duct cleaning is also included in that amount. And that should be we hope that that will be a permanent fix. We've also had a workers' comp issue around the mold out there. And again, I just think we're at a point where we just have to get this done. And then the second request, excuse me.
Representative Carlson? Continue.
Madam Chair and members, the second request is also falls into the asset preservation category, and it's a perimeter system upgrade for $3.875 million. Again, we were prepared to complete this had we got the $10 million. We didn't. We think with the kind of clientele we have in our high security institution today, that we have to have a perimeter out there that's inferior to none. And we have a 25-year-old perimeter. We have two alarm systems in that facility. One is along the roof line, around the roof line. The other is in the outer fence. And both of them are to the point where they're in ill repair. The one on the fence, we can't get parts for anymore. We simply have to upgrade that perimeter. We also, in addition to the electronics, the razor ribbon is 25 years old. That becomes brittle and it breaks under the climate changes from summer to winter, and the snow load that it occasionally has to carry. It hasn't been a problem the last few years. And then in addition to that, there's camera technology today that was not available 25 years ago, and lighting that's available. We don't have that perimeter well lit. In fact, I think it's safe to say we have perimeter systems at our medium security institutions that are probably superior to the perimeter that we have at our high custody institution. And at the risk of sounding vague, I really don't want to go into a lot of detail about the holes in that system, given the fact that this is a public hearing. And we think we're okay. We don't think people are going to run out of there like ants here tonight. But at the same time, we want to stay ahead of that problem and try to anticipate somebody eventually trying to get out of there. It's been in operation 25 years this March. We have not had a real attempt at the perimeter, but that doesn't mean it couldn't be happening as we're talking about it. And this, I think, really does get cut to the core of public safety, and it's an initiative that we really believe needs to be funded.
Representative Carlson.
Yeah, Madam Chair, my question is back to the long-range plan. Having worked in some very old school buildings, and you referenced the windows at Stillwater. The question I have is, when you're dealing with your long-range plan, where does energy conservation fit in? And I'm assuming that they're like the school buildings that I referenced, that they're probably not the most energy-efficient window in the world. So how do you rank those kinds of savings potentially long-term with your other requests?
Madam Chair and Representative, in fact, any new construction now that occurs, I think it's in all state agencies, but certainly in ours, there is a division in administration that really tries to assist us and our architects that actually do the pre-design and design for energy-efficient buildings and the latest in lighting and ballasts and heating systems that are consistent with energy efficiency. We have also in our agency done energy audits in the past. In fact, about a month ago, we said we're going to do them again. When I was the warden at Stillwater back in 94, 5, or 6, we did an energy audit. NSP came in and did one. And back then, we were getting our steam so cheap that they said the payback on putting new windows in would be about 25 years. But now, with the price of energy going up so high and the our steam cost, now that we're generating our own, probably going to cost a little more. That's one thing that we think the payback is going to be real soon. We also put traps in the steam lines back then. We spent about $250,000 on ballast upgrades, steam line traps, and a variety of other things that did cut our energy bill down, and that's just one facility. We did this at all of our facilities, and we're prepared to do it again. We're going to hire somebody through Department of Administration to come in and do energy audits so that we can show next year some of the payback on some of these items. But I could tell you the windows at Stillwater, for those of you that have been lucky enough to experience them, they're circa 1910. They're single pane, and it gets very drafty in there in the wintertime, especially last week.
So that was a good answer, but I guess it's part of the question that you referenced the energy audits previous 25-year payback. When I looked in, and of course St. Cloud is the same way with engineering windows. The question was then after these audits, what kind of a ranking then do you give those energy needs? And new construction is one question. I'm asking more about the retrofitting of the older facilities, St. Cloud and Stillwater in particular.
Commissioner?
Madam Chair and Representative, well, we'd like to give them a high priority, but I can tell you that in the last 10 years, the priority has been beds. And everything else has kind of taken a second seat to beds in terms of our bonding requests. We have bonded millions and millions of dollars, as you know, in adding new beds, and there just hasn't been the discretionary dollars to do the kinds of things that are probably not as necessary as finding a bunk for the 300 to 600 that come in every year. So our population is still growing. It's not growing quite as fast. Hopefully there will be a few dollars for some things other than beds next year when we meet. But I would certainly hope that those things around energy would be a high priority next to those things that you just have to get done, like leaky roofs, like the boilers that are failing, the sewer pipes that are failing. We got a well at Stillwater that we have to cap and drill a new well. So those kinds of things are going to probably be a higher priority. But energy is certainly something we're concerned about. I can tell you that between 05 and 06, our fuel and utility bill for the department went up about 32%. So it's something that is impacting not only us, but all state agencies, I'm sure.
Representative Carlson.
They testified that they're going to have another energy audit. It might be kind of interesting to find out what the payback would be versus 25 years with your last audit. I suspect it might be a fairly good return to the state, but to address that. The amounts between the two prisons are so huge, you may have to affect you with maintenance part of the prison, maybe over more than one biennium when you're talking 26 million for just St. Cloud and Stillwater.
Madam Chair, yes, your point is well taken, and in fact, it's always been our plan to start gradually, maybe do a cell block or two and come at it that way. The industry buildings, of course, the windows out there at both St. Cloud and Stillwater are in bad repair as well. We did scrape up some dollars here a couple of years ago to build a prototype out at Stillwater. So we've done one window, and we've got an idea of what it can look like, and just how long it's going to take to manufacture, and get an idea of drill the cost down a little bit so we can bring a harder number back next year as well.
It is daunting when you look at that back page and imagine if all we manage is $5 million a year, it would take quite a long time to get through that long-term asset preservation sheet. Any further questions for the department? If not, thank you. We have those two requests for this year as included in the governor's bill. Thank you for coming. And we have a bill up, Representative Dean and Mayor Hrishky from Stillwater. And while they're coming up, members, again, we have information in your packet that they are answers to past questions. There is quite a big packet on the state capitol building in the packet. You may take that with you if you want. Representative Solberg asked a question about use of trunk highway funds. There is a memo following up on that question. And there are also some responses from the Department of Administration relative to commuting and parking. And we probably should, Representative Wagenius is not here, we should make sure that she notes that. So that information is follow-up from previous meetings. Representative Dean moves House File 407.
Yes.
To get that issue before us. And we welcome you and Mayor Hrishky to the committee.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. First of all, thank you very much for the opportunity to address the committee with this project for this year. This is a project that addresses flooding in Stillwater, and it is part of an ongoing process with the Army Corps of Engineers that started in 1936 with the construction of Lock and Dam Number 3 downriver. The Army Corps of Engineers realized that this would cause flooding upstream and constructed a small perimeter berm at Stillwater to protect the city from flooding. Over the years, before that time, Stillwater never flooded, and since that time, it's flooded, I believe, about 18 times. There was an extension that was to be constructed about 10 years ago, and just about the same time, the city had its biggest flood since I can remember, putting much of the town underwater, also undermined the first part of that berm construction. That was shored up and constructed. We also had some additional monies to extend that forward, and that's kind of what we're looking at now, is extending that wall to protect the entirety of Stillwater. Now, why are we looking for the dollars this year? The dollars are necessary because the Army Corps, the federal government, has money appropriated for this. We need to match that in order for the plans and specifications to be completed this summer and construction to begin. We'll probably also be looking for additional dollars down road to complete this project, but if we don't do this now, we can't move forward, and that's the reason that we're here this year as an emergency request and not next year with the large bonding bill. So with that, I'd like to have Mayor Hrishky describe the project in a little bit more detail and also be available to answer any questions from the committee.
Welcome to the committee.
Thank you. Madam Chair and members, my name is Ken Hrishky. I'm the mayor of Stillwater. I want to thank the chair and the members for the opportunity to appear before you today for this important request. As Representative Dean has stated, we're asking for $200,000 in the 2007 bonding bill to be used as half of the non-federal matching funds required for plans and constructions of the third and final stage of the Stillwater Levee and Flood Control Project. The city will be providing the other half of the matching funds required. The $200,000 will be used during 2007 for planning and construction of a flood wall and berm to be located approximately 125 feet west of the riverfront between the St. Croix River and the downtown section of the city. The project will require more than 2,000 feet of sheet piling and the construction of two pumping stations to move the water over the levee wall as well. Along with the beauty of the St. Croix River, which I hope many of you have had a chance to enjoy, comes problems, and that's flooding, and many of our river towns have this. As Representative Dean has stated, prior to 1937, There were no recorded floods in Stillwater. And what happened was in 1937, the Army Corps of Engineers constructed Lock and Dam Number 3 on the Mississippi River. Since that time, we've experienced 18 floods. The last was approximately about 8 to 10 years ago, as my memory serves me. The project, the levee project, has been divided into three stages. Two of those are complete already, and this is the final stage that will provide the maximum flood protection for the city. The first stage was just going from the south of the gazebo to the north end of the levee of the town along the river. The second stage, which has been completed, extended the levee wall nearly 1,000 feet from the gazebo to a place we call Mulberry Point. The third stage expands the flood protection system by constructing a 3-foot berm and flood wall and driving sheet piling below the surface to prevent water seepage. And it provides a base for the berm. The berm and flood wall will be constructed, as we said, about 125 feet inland from the riverbank. Stage 3 is the component that provides the maximum flood protection for the city. The rising elevation and the terrain ties into the rising elevation, and it effectively provides a 100-year flood protection for the city. The mayor, myself, the city council members and engineers, and the DNR personnel all understand that stage 3 of the flood control project is essential for the protection of life and property of the citizens. The stage 3 flood wall is a critical phase of the project. It's the last phase that needs to be complete. The Corps acknowledged the necessity of all three stages of the project when the design memorandum was prepared. The berm along the river will be carefully constructed to provide, you know, views of the river from Lowell Park and provide a walking path and such, and eventually, hopefully, it'll connect to the to what will hopefully one day be the old historic lift bridge, which was scheduled to become a pedestrian bridge, should our new bridge ever be completed.
When?
Soon. We need it soon.
We do have a chair of the Transportation Finance Committee on this committee as well.
The schedule for the...
Representative Erdahl has a question.
Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Mayor, somewhat familiar with this area of Stillwater because my sister's family lives on North William Street by the Stillbridge School.
Right by my house.
And how much flooding do you have? I mean, how many blocks or portions of blocks?
Madam Chair and Representative Earl, it goes up to Main Street. And as you may recall, in the last flood, we had severe problems with Main Street with sewers backing up and things and water seepage. The 100-year mark is, appropriately, since the Department of Corrections is here, goes from about where the old prison site was in Stillwater and a little bit to the west of Main Street.
Okay. Thank you.
Continue.
All right. The city, we're limiting our request right now for state matching funds in during this session for the following reasons. You know, first, we realize that 2007 is not the usual year for bonding by the legislature, and that the availability of bonding authority will be limited. Flood control projects, however, have been considered emergency projects by bonding committees in the past, giving them a degree of priority for inclusion in the bonding bills. Second, we're asking that only the matching funds for which federal funds have already been appropriated are provided. So we already have the federal funds. The city has the funds lined up, and now we're just looking for $200,000 for the state to help us keep moving this project forward. In conclusion, the city of Stillwater has been a very flood-prone location since the construction of the lock and dam. The protection provided by this project will save millions of dollars of tax dollars from federal and state and local governments, as well as prevent the destruction of private property and loss of businesses downtown, loss of business in the downtown. Most importantly, though, each year that floods have occurred, we've risked the lives of emergency personnel as they work the levees and such, so we're just looking for the final stage to start on this flood project. We respectfully ask the committee to support our request for $200,000 in the 2007 House bonding bill in this legislative session.
Questions for the mayor or the author of the bill? Representative Lanning.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mayor, as a former mayor myself of a city that floods all too often, I'm very sympathetic to your project here. Could you give us some idea as to what your request might be next year when we face the big bonding bill?
Mayor Hersey.
Madam Chair and Representative Lanning, We've received $2 million in funding right now, and the total project is estimated to be around $5 million. So next year we would be back for the matching funds on, you know, roughly the difference of $5 million. So we'd be back for the difference on the between the $2 million and the $5 million total.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions of either the mayor or the author? If not, this bill will be held over for possible inclusion in the committee omnibus bill, and we thank you for coming and being with the committee.
Madam Chair and members, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members, for the committee's time.
And members, next on February 15th, Department of Employment and Economic Development overview of Public Facilities Authority wastewater and water infrastructure programs. As I visited with many of you, this was a very big issue for many of you as you talked about issues in your of concern to you and in your part of the state. We have one bill that we'll hear that is related and as a way of getting at what some of the local issues are. So that is before us at the next meeting. And if there is no, Representative Carlson.
You referenced the information they provided on the Capitol. Is there more information coming? Because I had a question about the new space and how that was being allocated between House, Senate, Governor, and the site plans through the information that appeared that that's describing current space.
Oh, we'll follow up. I
was misunderstanding something there. But if we're going to, as a body, be investing in
in the future plan, yes. And so we will follow up on that. Representative Murphy.
And Madam Chair, to that point, I do have pictures of the old space, the Capitol with the old space, that's House space, so we could compare the new space with the old space if we get it.
Okay. Members, we had some of our members visit with some members of the Senate, and there's been a suggestion, I think it was made earlier by Representative Lanning, about a building committee, and that suggestion has been agreed to by the Senate, and so we're talking to them about very quickly forming a group who would meet, perhaps a group of five House members who would meet with five senators for a more vigorous discussion and working together on the plan. So we thank you for that suggestion, and that has been accepted by the Senate. Any other discussion? And Representative Carlson will tell them this isn't quite what we had in mind yet. There's no other discussion. Meeting is adjourned.